Resolution 23-769, moved by Councilor Hossman, second by Councilor Ryland. Be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby reconvened into regular open session of Council at 6:32 p.m. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. And Resolution 23-770, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Pekkanen. Be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby accept the reports, recommendations, and directions arising from the closed session held December 19, 2023. Discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. In the spirit of reconciliation and cooperation, we wish to acknowledge that the land in which we gather is the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and the Mississauga people. I guess
yeah,
we better
sorry.
Put that back on. Keep on Zoom.
Yeah.
Sorry for the pause here. In the spirit of reconciliation and cooperation, we wish to acknowledge that the land in which we gather is the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and the Mississauga people. Its boundaries fall within the Robinson-Huron Treaty of 1850 and the Williams Treaty of 1923. We are grateful to live here, and we thank all the generations of people who have taken care of this land for thousands of years. Honor the suffering of Indigenous people and the love and wisdom they have carried for thousands of years. We pledge to work in community and harmony with each other and the environment we inhabit, and work towards truth and reconciliation. We'll do roll call once again now that we're into open.
Councillor Morley Haskell.
Councillor Nick Ryland.
Councillor Debbie Zula.
Councillor Mike Hackenham.
Clerk Administrator Ina Watkinson.
Deputy Clerk Curly Britton.
Fire Chief Robert Morrison. Okay.
And Mayor David Moore. Are there any declarations of pecuniary and or personal interest in the general nature thereof? Hearing none. On to delegations and presentations. First is Carling Fire Chief Gord Harrison regarding the Westbury Sound Community Safety and Well-Being Plan. And hopefully we've got a microphone for you.
This spot right here?
I think that's it.
All right. Testing, is this...
Yeah, if you just want to point it up. Yep.
All right. Okay.
Thanks for coming out in person.
No problem. Nice to get out here. I had a nice tour of your library while I was waiting. It's nice. It's beautiful. Wonderful things here. So I was invited to come out and speak to the Community Safety and Wellbeing Plan. Sort of as a general summary, it was done on behalf of the Westbury Sound Lakes municipalities. The fire chiefs were commissioned. That's too light a word. We're instructed by the CAOs to take that project forward, and on Friday, the last municipalities adopted the plan. Monday morning, it was sent off to the Solicitor General's office, so they have it now. So we're in compliance.
No, it's excellent. I think that was one of our concerns. Where did all this originate? And with the switching of councils, I guess we need a constant.
Yeah.
Where it started. And
sure. So. Yeah. Oh, sorry. I can give you the background on it. I think around 2019, the Solicitor General's office instructed or mandated all municipalities in Ontario to develop a community safety and well-being plan. It sort of sat in limbo in this area because it didn't fall into anybody's portfolio. The CAOs had it and weren't quite sure what to do with it because there was nobody on staff that could speak to it directly, and they saw the word safety and thought, let's give it to the fire chiefs and see what they'll do with it. So that's how we ended up with it. So we formed a committee. We appointed three of us to sort of move forward. Myself, Chief Thompson from Parry Sound, and then Chief Leduc, who was in the group at the time. And so we moved it forward, met with community partners like social services, child welfare, all YMCA, those sort of groups, and started working on it. And originally there was a deadline of July of 2020, but COVID came along and changed everything. So the Solicitor General was very good at extending the deadlines. So we got the bulk of the work done in 2022 and then finished it off this past year. So the plan's ready. Really the idea, I think, behind it was for every community to take a look at the way that, it seemed to be police-centered to start with, to see how policing was being done and really is are the police being used effectively? Are there other organizations that need to be involved? And in terms of safety, what's being done and can there anything else? So sort of taking that survey, that was the sort of general idea, and that certainly guided the process, working through it. The nice thing was, as we got into it, it seemed like most of the concerns, especially after we surveyed people, most of people's concerns were being addressed already. Social services and OPP, healthcare, mental health, have all been working together anyway, so on their own. Probably the most significant was the impact table, where if somebody is in need and they don't fit into a category, because that's often the problem, somebody needs something but they don't fit into one program, they put together a group of people, they get started with the health center, and they just call this meeting, everybody comes to the table, and they see what they can do for this person. So, and that seems to be going well, and seems to be addressing a lot of concerns. So there's programs like that, and then social services have a number of programs. And we found that I think the real disconnect was sort of between municipalities and the service people that are delivering the services, because we don't always have a sense of what they're up to. And just sort of the biggest thing with this plan, I think, moving forward, is just having that communication a little more formal, so on an annual basis. At least we know what they're up to, and we can communicate it back to councils, to you good people, and then also to the community at large, so everybody has an understanding of what's going on.
Yeah. As you say, it's often staff, I'm thinking of DSAB in particular, that has all of this data for us, and
absolutely, and
they certainly know about it, but actually sending that to the council so that we can hear what's going on, I think that's important.
Yeah, absolutely. Part of the problem, too, is representation on boards in here, because you don't always necessarily, somebody at this table may not be on the board,
right.
So you're not getting the best information. So if we can improve that some, that people have done a good thing.
And I guess that's the question of the whole thing, too, all this data collected. And you meet once a year, I think, is what they suggested?
I was trying to, what it came down to was coming up with a realistic plan. And it seemed like if we could meet once a year to review what's going on, and then maybe more often when needed, we could do that, but at least annually to see what everybody's up to, because obviously this group isn't doing anything. We're just taking a look at what's going on.
Yeah.
So we don't have to be active. And you could ask your staff, but if your staff are anything like our staff, it's not like you're looking for something to do on a daily basis. So trying to fit it. So we thought annually is realistic. And we also, originally the plan called for the CAOs to be that group, but they saw through that, and they handed it back. They said, and I think what it comes down to is somebody from a municipality that has an interest and capacity will sit on that committee and sort of monitoring on your behalf.
Yeah. And just out of interest, like, too, the survey you say that was done, how was that conducted?
So we ended up going two routes about it. First, it was an online survey, so every municipality was asked to put it on the website. It was linked to a SurveyMonkey, and that's how it was done. Originally, we took a look at that data, and then we started to kind of realize that probably the people we wanted to get to, the ones that are the more vulnerable population, probably weren't online, and so weren't responding, because when we looked, the first survey we did, the results was like, everybody feels totally safe. It was like really high degrees, so everybody felt very, like you're sitting at home in front of your computer, so you feel good about that. So we went back and asked some of the service providers to do one-on-one interviews with people, and we collected more data that way, and found a little bit more, I think, a little more accurate picture of how people are feeling up there.
That's good. Well, that's always a question with the surveys that are done and the data that's collected, and what do you do with it? So
if
there's a follow-up plan, and as you say, a lot of the agencies are already doing it. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, there's some things I think for municipalities to look at, because you know, economic development is something I think that municipalities work on together, and that's an area that is really in this world rather than the other agencies. So there's some things for municipalities to be working on, and certainly the group, you know, can sort of this group will be able to sort of, you know, get a sense of how that's going.
Other questions, council?
Sorry, no, I was just scratching. So.
Any movement? Well, great. Thanks very much. And like I say, it was sort of a surprise. We see this document. It's so huge. Yeah. And all of this information, what are we supposed to do with it? So
I'm
glad you have the background for us to fill us in.
Yeah, so no problem. Anyway, thanks for inviting me out here. You were the only municipality to ask any further questions. I think everybody was just happy to have to deal with it.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank
thanks
you.
So much, and have a merry Christmas.
Thank you.
And you won't be offended if I don't stay for the remainder of the meeting.
Well, talk to Rob. He wanted to stay to listen to you, but... Thanks, Gord. Have resolution 23-771, moved by Councillor Ryland, second by Councillor Haskam. Be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received a deputation from Township of Carling Fire Chief Lord Harrison regarding the Westbury Sound Community Safety and Well-Being Plan. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Adjusted with our first resolution, the agenda bits were moving 17.1, 17.2, and 17.3 up to now on the agenda between 11.1 and 11.2. So then we'll talk about Lake Stewardship Environmental Committee deputation after that. So the fire chief wants to come forward and see if there are any questions from council. You've already submitted the documentation.
Yep.
I'll read the resolution. This is for 17.1. It's resolution 23-772, moved by Councillor Haskin, second by Councillor Ryland. Be resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received report FD-2023-20, ENR bylaw changes from Fire Chief Robert Morrison, and further that amendments to bylaw 2022-42 be presented at the next regular meeting of Council to reflect the update to services, training, and skills of the Township of McKellar Volunteer Fire Department. Open to discussion, and you want to elaborate, or council just may ask questions. Councilor Ryan.
Rob, in terms of the background, I mean, the training that you were talking about for the ice rescue, did that involve firefighters from any other municipality? Or
no, it was offered up to other municipalities. Unfortunately, they couldn't take advantage of it at the time.
Okay.
It would have been nice to have other people involved and split it a bit, but Perry Sound had the OFM in town for a big exam writing and so forth. And
sure.
It was offered, it wasn't accepted.
Have they done or are they doing their own ice rescue training? Sorry.
Yes, actually, we were the only municipality which did not have trained ice rescuers at the time. Now we're good.
Okay, good. Thank you.
I had a question, I guess, on the actual ice water training,
sure.
Ice rescue. This is under, I don't know what page it's on, but it's part of the amendment. To add section 6, now it says Family Animal Rescue Recovery Services.
Yes.
I guess just the way it's worded, are we dealing with people or are we just dealing with animals for rescue here?
No, well, I mean, we are primarily the bylaw adjustment is to deal with people.
Okay, good.
That is, first and foremost, our focus is rescue and preservation of life, human life. the rescue and preservation of family pets, which happen to wander out onto the lake, will be undertaken if the risk analysis is acceptable. And that is the way it's written in the bylaw, is that it's subject to a risk assessment done by the on-scene leadership or chiefs.
So, again, I'm just wondering about the wording of that for Section 6, how that is interpreted.
Well, so if we show up on scene and somebody's dog is in the water, and we feel that we can, without creating an abundance of risk for our rescuers, enter out onto the ice surface, get close enough to the animal to be able to lasso them, to be able to offer like a reaching pole, that kind of thing, to be able to scoop them out, then we will do so. What we won't do is put any of our rescuers in harm's way because of the unpredictable nature of animals that are in the water. We won't put any of our rescuers in direct harm or direct danger in order to save the family pet. Every effort will be made to do it safely, but whereas we will be prepared to enter the water for a human, it would have to be, you know, considered safe to do so in order to do it for a family pet.
But that's what I wanted to clarify here. When I see the older version and the new one, I'm still looking for people in there. Am I missing something?
The without spelling out the word people, the primary section A of the B-119 essentially is meant for people.
Okay, I'm just wondering if it should be specified, but
perhaps we should change the wording, and I'm amenable to that. I can resubmit different wording for the bylaw, but the intention of this was to include people as well.
Okay. Councillor Kecker?
So in that Section A, the wording to be specific with people. And maybe further down where it says, under 5, it says wild animal rescue, and then maybe 6 could be domestic animal rescue, so that the word family doesn't get
absolutely
confused.
No, I totally accept that. That's not a problem.
Sure.
Yep.
After Ryan?
Yeah. Close. I know Rob and I think it goes back to the Rescue 1 purchase. When we had a vehicle that had a trailer hitch for the first time.
Yes.
And I recall that there isn't, that you don't have a boat or anything for the fire department.
Yeah, we currently don't have any water vessels.
No. Okay.
We have what's called a Rescue Alive, which it seems to work, and you can see it in the pictures.
Yeah.
It works very well. I don't know the age of it. I don't know when it was purchased. We have no records of that. But it seems to work very well for ice surfaces. We do not have a waterborne vessel. At current, we don't offer water rescue as a skill.
Okay.
Just shore-based water rescue.
So this device is just pushed out by a firefighter?
Device, yeah. Yes, it's essentially meant to spread the load, allow you a stable platform in which to approach a person or a family pet, and offer assistance, pull them in. There's actually a strapping mechanism which will allow you to secure them to the craft, and then it can be pulled to shore because it is tied off at all times.
Does not having a boat have any, or has it had any impact on any rescue summer or winter for the fire
department? Not having a boat has only had an impact from the standpoint at this point in time in terms of our wildfire responses. We've had to call in McDougal for the use of their boat a few times for wildfire response. But we've never actually had to effect a water rescue on, you know, any of the islands or anything like that. We haven't had any stranded craft or anything like that. So, to date, if we were to have something like that, we would, at this point in time, have to call in McDougal or the OPP or Whitestone.
If you had a choice of something, what would you buy for a boat and or motor?
That's a very good question. At this point in time, I would consider the addition of, like, let's say a Zodiac, an inflatable boat, which would be, you know, usable in both an ice service scenario as well as a water service scenario. just take the motor off and light enough that we can push it out and so forth. What you're looking for is providing stability and a stable platform to spread the weight on the ice as well, you know, with the outboard motor for us to have access to the islands and such.
Sure.
So you mentioned some of the other departments and what they might have. Does anybody have like a hovercraft or something to that effect? Or
someone had a hovercraft and they're selling it.
Oh.
My understanding, they never had a tremendous amount of success or reliability with it.
Okay.
I could be wrong, but I've heard some bad stories about it. So Parry Sound has a Zodiac, and they actually, if you watched the YouTube video, you saw the boat in the water there when we were doing the spill that we had down at Stewart Park earlier in the summer. That was a Parry Sound Zodiac. And they came out and helped us with the placement of the booms out in the channel. McDougal has an aluminum, and I believe Whitestone has a Zodiac as well. So.
Any idea of cost for either of those two?
I have not done research into the cost for that. I would just be tossing the ballparks at this point in time.
If I can be so bold, could you do that as part of your budget presentation for next year? Not that I'm saying we would approve it, but at least it would be...
Absolutely. I can give you an idea of what it would cost.
And I'm not sure that's within my authority to ask that, but...
Well, that's not a problem.
Yeah.
Councillor Dillon?
This here, if it goes through the ice,
yes,
will it float?
There is a modicum of flotation in it, in the device, but it's not meant to be like a water-based craft.
Mm-hmm.
So it will... essentially provide a platform that you can hold on to and then, you know, extricate yourself from the water, right? If you are standing on it, depending on the weight of the person, it will go underwater.
Okay.
Yes.
So that unit, does it get pulled in by hand?
Yes.
Or do you have a winch that you use if you have to pull a heavy object?
It's all done by hand at this point in time. We have... If we had to use, extricate it with a more than what a few people on shore could provide in terms of horsepower, we do have a winch on Rescue 1 that we could hook up to the rope and allow us that extra pulling capability. But for the most part, it slides pretty nicely, especially on the ice. And you're dealing with the body weight of two human beings, right? So it's not too big, too much. It's not like we're lifting it, we're just dragging it across the slippery surface.
Yeah, that was just a concern to ensure that you had enough pulling power in a situation that you might require a little extra force to be able to...
Yeah, so ideally when we are effecting an ice rescue, we have our core group of, we have 8 individuals who are now trained. And so we have our core group of individuals who will be providing a safety team as well as an actual rescue team. And then we'll have extra responders show up and conduct onshore only operations. So if we get 2, 3, 5 extra people showing up, we have, you know, an excess amount of horsepower in which to help pull things in.
Okay.
And those shore-based people, their primary responsibility will be the controlling of ropes and so forth, as well as spotters. Preparing cots for the ambulance and stuff.
Good, thank you.
Yep. Okay, any further discussion?
I guess, Rob, I don't know, I believe a couple of fellows from the Snowmobile Club down there, Snow Riders, have talked to you about whether the club could assist you in any way if there is ever a need or anything, and it's kind of funny, Peter here is with the club also, but I just thought I'd put it out there that I believe they said they've had some conversation with you.
Yeah.
Because the Snowmobile Club presently keeps 3 machines at Mark Dennertog's just up the highway here a mile, which is right pretty much on Grey Owl Lake. So I just want to make you aware of that. I think the offer is out there if you see any need for...
Absolutely. And we had Phil show up to one of our training nights. He conveyed the capabilities of the Snowmobile Club, and we're definitely looking at formulating a kind of a partnership of sorts. We talked about... he said that he would have to bring it back to the board. Of the club and so forth, but we've talked about how we can, you know, affect a proper response if we have somebody injured in snowmobile accidents. We don't have a snowmobile. Personally, lots of us do, but we don't have a department snowmobile kind of thing. But with the club, you guys can transport equipment. We do have a sled that we can use and get pulled behind one of your Scandics, so that we can get out there, get access to the patient, and remove them.
Correct.
So, yeah. And okay. So that's all fantastic. We had that conversation with Phil, and we were going to continue the conversation.
Okay.
In the winter.
Very good.
Hopefully, we get enough snow.
Yeah.
Oh, it'll come. That'd be some sort of agreement then, because you're looking at liability too in training. And
well, yeah, that'd be kind of up to Rob to kind of cover that. And
after we sort of get our idea, our heads wrapped around the parameters of it, then we would have to look at what the liabilities are and so forth, and what kind of insurance. I'm sure the club has insurance, which would cover the rider and the machine. The department will have to make sure that we have the right amount of insurance to cover our responders,
right?
Let's say being towed by the sled. You know, at this point in time, none of that exists. And so people last year, one snowmobile accident that we had where we had to extricate a gentleman, it was just a passerby that picked him up, and you know, there's no injury control, there's nothing like that. So anything is a vast improvement on what we currently have. So we're hoping to work with Morley and the club and create some good protocol. Yeah, so that we can all do it safely.
Yeah, because those, it's be good to use those snowmobiles to transport, you know, EMS into a site, you know, if they're needed, a site kind of thing. It's happened in the past, so, yeah. So
our sled can do that, and we can transport the EMS people as well as backward, you know, so they can package the patient, and then you can pull them out using your sleds and so, yeah. So it's a work in progress, but I think it's a very positive
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay. Any further discussion? Already read the resolution, so we'll call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Don't let you leave just yet.
Let's go.
Resolution 23-773, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Pekkanen. Be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive report FD-2023-21, month-end status updates from November 2023 from Fire Chief Robert Morrison for information purposes. Any discussion of that report? I think just for the sake of the ratepayers, people listening in, maybe that you talked about the courses that... and you have them in bold and underlined here, the certification. Could you just make that public?
Let me just see here. Ah, okay, there we go. Yes, the training course. Yes, we had five recruits. We started with six. We ended up with five who completed the West Prairie Sound Recruit Training Program to become certified level one firefighters. And tremendous amount of success with them. They did extraordinarily well during the courses, and I'm pleased to report that... just last week, we received the results from the OFM exam. They had previously passed the practical exam, but the written exam, we got the results last week, and they all passed. So, you know, we have five new certified firefighters on our department right now, ready to respond to emergencies. So we did very well. Very proud of them.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
That's great news.
Must say something about the good training, then, right? the other question I had is on the smoke alarms, CO2 detectors.
Yes.
When you visit with this program, it used to be, this is years back, I'm not sure what the fire department's doing right now. Do you still supply free of charge to seniors or is there a charge?
We do. We had a donation of CO detectors, and I have purchased with our fire prevention budget a supply of smoke detectors. And we have a program where people can go online and book it through Square Appointments. We offer appointments up during the summer at every market and tell people about the program. And mostly it's spread through word of mouth or social media as well. We show up and we can either consult just to make sure that you know if you have any questions. We hand out fire prevention information. How cooking is the number one cause of house fires, especially unattended cooking and stuff like that. We can change batteries if people are mobile challenged and can't do it themselves, or we can supply new detectors and install them for them. We send two people each time. That's just a safety mechanism. I don't want anybody going to anybody's house alone. So we send two people. They book in for an hour. It doesn't cost them anything, and we can provide the detectors. We've had I guess, what are my numbers here? We've installed approximately 20 smoke detectors or smoke alarms and 7 CO alarms within the township, which is fantastic. Most of them are to the elderly, which is great. And this coming week, before people start showing up at the cottage, we actually have a door hanger campaign where we'll be sending firefighters out, and they'll be going to sections of the community. We can't, unfortunately, do the whole township, but we're going to concentrate around the lake. And when people show up at their cottage for Christmas break, they're going to find in most places anyways, a door hanger on the front door, and just a reminder, you know, check your batteries, check your smoke alarms, check your CO alarms. Because, you know, recreational property sometimes, you know, come up in the middle of the night, that kind of thing just escapes you, right? So really trying to focus on awareness and keeping people informed.
Excellent. Councilor Hassan?
Yeah, very good report, Rob. I have a question. Maybe this might show my age, but what about fire extinguishers?
Yes.
Like, is that something you recommend people should have in their homes?
Yeah, no, fire extinguishers are very important to have in the house.
Okay, it just doesn't seem to be mentioned, so I just...
They're a little expensive for me to give away.
Well, yeah.
we do, at the market, we do often have examples available at the market for people to look at. I have donated a few of them to different raffles and so forth. There are fantastic reusable ones, essentially, that are available. You don't all have to be the typical class ABC that you can see on the wall.
It's on the other side of the door.
It's on the other side. It is in here, I know that. but I believe it's First Alert. A company makes these ones that are like a, it looks like cooking spray, right? But it's a fire extinguisher, and if you don't use the whole thing, you can hold on to it and use it again. But there's you know, fantastic products that are available out there, and yeah, we do recommend everybody has at least one in their household, and definitely has one in their kitchen.
Yeah.
So
I'll just throw it out there as a possibility. Like, honestly, I just moved a couple of years ago. I have not got a fire extinguisher at home, and I think of it every once in a while, especially when I'm fiddling around out in the garage. And I just think it could be a fundraising opportunity for the association, you know, selling of fire extinguishers. Is that something that could...
That's a fantastic
especially
idea.
At the market.
It's definitely something I can bring up to Paul and Bruce and Sean, who and Jim, who run the association.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good public awareness campaign, and it's a good way to maybe raise some funds for the association.
Yeah, because if half the population is much like me, well, then there's lots that could be sold in the Keller Township.
And you know, funny thing is, the number of people that have boats here, it's legally they have to have one in the boat, right? So, but people don't tend to think about their houses quite as much,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
So really advocating for the use of, or at least having at least one in the house. And also, you know, these fire blankets that are now available, and they're not expensive. They are super effective, you know, when you have kitchen fires and so forth. Like, you can buy 4 of them on Amazon for $60 or something like that right now. So very effective at smothering a fire and keeping the damage down, keeping people safe.
Where can we get fire extinguishers recharged? Or?
So that's always an interesting topic. You can get them recharged, most of them. If they're within a certain
age
range,
yeah.
And they have to be tested, hydrostatically tested, kind of. There are services in the GTA that could do that. You're probably going to pay about as much as you would just to go and buy a new one.
Yeah.
So recycling it is generally a good idea. If it's, you know, a little bit out of age range, maybe keep it as a secondary one.
Mm-hmm.
That way you have some coverage for if you ever had to use your primary.
Yeah.
You know? You can technically, I guess, still.
Okay.
I'm not aware of the name of the service, but
right.
It's in the GTA.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Any further questions? Discussion?
Dave.
Go ahead.
One quick thing. I'd just like to thank you, Rob, and your department for showing being at the lighting up of McKellar down at Minerva Park there.
You're welcome.
And it must have, the ones that had the fire going huddled around it, they must have been doing the ice rescue maybe earlier that day or something.
I think so.
some of them.
Right. And just to mention, our rec committee will be having our ice fish derby here that he has attended. I think we had to cancel last year. But anyways, it's Saturday, February the 17th. So if you want to mention that, maybe do that.
So the kids are going to kick our butts again on the
training for
that's what we're hoping.
That's what you're hoping?
Yeah.
I'm going to start training for it, I think.
Okay.
If I could say one thing before we end, and that is another thing that we're really advocating for right now is the use of a 72-hour kit. Everybody in their cottages, everybody in their homes, especially at this time of year when we deal with ice storms, loss of power yesterday. Mm-hmm. And having a 72-hour kit and materials to get you through 72 hours of not being able to access help, 72 hours of not being able to, you know, go out and get food kind of thing, very important, especially this time of year. So as part of our emergency preparedness on social media and so forth, we're really pushing for people to go to, I think it's beprepared.ca off the top of my head, I'm sorry, I don't remember exactly, but if you just Googled 72-hour kits, there's lots of information out there on how to get yourself through that three-day window.
Excellent. Yeah, thank you.
Great.
Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed. Carried. One more item. Resolution 23-774, moved by Councillor Ryden, second by Councillor Haskin. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of Skelder has hereby received the informal quotations for the development of a fire safety plan for the Township of McKellar Community Center, and further direct the clerk to retain the services of FirePoint to develop the plan as quoted in the amount of $3,880 plus HST of $504.50 for a total of $4,384.40. Discussion?
The community center, for whatever reason, did not have a fire safety plan in place, and so when that became apparent, I went out and got some informal quotes. Being that I'm the person who has to approve the fire safety plan, I have to sort of stay at arm's reach, but it is part of this fire code. Section 2.8, we are an assembly occupancy, therefore we should have a fire safety plan in place that displays the evacuation routes, who's in charge of certain elements of the alarm, and so forth. So it is my recommendation that the Township of McKellar either executes on one of these two quotes that I've provided or seeks a third one in order to get a proper safety plan developed and displayed within the community center.
Yeah, I like the suggestion here too. We run into this all the time. An editable document Word file, so we can actually make changes and keep things up to date. It's not just a PDF Excel, I guess we could operate with too, but it's nice to get these documents that you can actually amend over years.
Staff changes, do improvements to a facility, and so having it editable would be to our benefit.
Further discussion? Is this the only building then, or should be concerned about other township buildings? Or?
No other township building technically falls under the purview of
gathering.
We don't have a care occupancy. We don't have a detention facility. We don't have a retirement home within the township. All of these would have to have a fire safety plan. If you were to walk into the BOCC in Perry Sound, you'll see a red and white box in the front door. And that is what this facility should have as well. And that is just there. It's accessible for emergency responders, but it's also accessible for staff to be able to, in the event of an emergency, it's already planned out.
Now, is this something we prepare for? I'm thinking of St. Stephen's and Hemlock Church when they're upgraded, and if they become a community center as such, a hub, is that something that should be done as well?
It's always advisable to have one, yes. If you have staff that are on scene and you... preparedness is never a bad thing. So whether it's mandated under the fire code that those facilities have one. I guess they are technically assembly occupancies, so they should be something that they look at.
Okay. I guess we're not to that stage yet, but this thing down the future.
Mm-hmm.
Any further questions, discussion? Okay, call the question then. All those in favor? And opposed? Carried. Thank you.
Very good.
Coming out, all your reporting, and I know we have to get back to training, so.
We're off until the new year, so thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Great.
Now, we kept the second deputation waiting here, but I'm sure they don't mind. We have the Lake Stewardship Environmental Committee, Protecting the Waters in the Color Township pamphlet, and the draft 2024 committee budget. So I don't know, I guess.
I think I'm going first.
You're going first? Okay. And then Jennifer's online, is she?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Your Worship, councillors, for the opportunity to make this deposition. My name's Peter Duffy. I reside in McKellar on Dancy Lane on Lake Manitowabi. And I'm here on behalf of the Lake Stewardship and Environmental Committee, or as we like to call it, LSEC. As you know, LSEC was created by the township to foster environmental awareness as well as raising understanding and appreciation to protect the natural resources in McKellar. The committee has in the past circulated pamphlets, and we have done so in conjunction with the tax notices that go out, therefore trying to minimize costs while at the same time maximizing our reach to the target audience. We prepared another such pamphlet that I believe you either have in front of you or have had the ability to see, and we are seeking approval for that to be sent out in the February tax mail. The pamphlet is called Protecting the Waters of McKellar Township, and if you've read through it or when you read through it, you'll notice that it has a consider going organic theme to it. It does not, and we stayed away from you must not, thou shalt not approach when it comes to talking about herbicides, fertilizers, and pesticides. I don't need to explain to anybody on council that the excessive use of any of the aforementioned is detrimental to our watershed in general. The pamphlet itself, self-explanatory, and the members of the Lake Stewardship and Environmental Committee have fully endorsed the message as one that we believe is important to go out to the town and the residents of McKellar. When it does come out in its final form, it will come out like this as a tri-folded pamphlet that they can open up in the tax mail. The cost of the pamphlets are included in the 2024 budget, which our chair, Jennifer Gantfuller, will be presenting next. Again, thank you for your the opportunity to present in front of council, and I would be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Excellent. I guess my first question to staff, as far as stuffing the envelopes and putting it in the tax bill, so I see it's an actual pamphlet. It's not just paper. Then is that cardboard or is how?
No, it will be paper.
Oh, okay.
And it will come to you folded like that, so it will be.
That's fine.
Yes. Yep. It's come that way in the past.
I can come over and help you stuff envelopes.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah, you can't stuff tax bills.
No, that's true. But you can do the envelopes first.
Yeah.
with the pamphlet, yeah. It's nice to see it's in color, too. We got the black and white copy, so.
Yeah, we minimized. It does have the color on the front, and the township crest is in color. But we purposefully kept the inside of the pamphlet black and white,
right.
And that's just to minimize printing costs.
Right.
And again, it'll just be on sort of plain paper. It won't be any fancy high gloss because, again, we're keeping the costs as minimal as possible.
Yeah, I guess we've asked the question before, too. I don't know whether you do any follow-up on these mail-outs that are done. Is there any, did anybody ever get back to you on it, whether they're actually reading it?
That would be a good question. Having only been on this committee for about 2 months, I can't really answer that. I'm new to the township. Trying to get involved in a bunch of different things, and I think I'd have to defer that to Jennifer.
Yeah, I think she has answered me before, so I'm sure she'll speak to me. Okay, any further questions for Peter? Great. Well, thank you. And
thank you.
Thanks for all that you do. And welcome to the township and to the committee.
It's an absolute pleasure to be here.
Very nice.
Thank you.
Okay, I guess Jennifer is online then, wants to speak to the budget, maybe other things. So.
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to, can you hear me all right?
Yes.
I just wanted to say that we did have some excellent feedback on the septic flyer that we sent out last July. One of the committee members was talking to a number of people in her area of the lake, and a lot of them have really pulled back on the big crowds that they have because of our message that, you know, you're the number of people you have in your cottage needs to be according to how what your septic can support. And so I think a lot of people, from what that's not a survey, but it is indicative that people are reading them and considering them. So thank you for having me tonight for this deposition. I wanted to present the budget that the LSEC has drawn up for the coming year, 2024. We have divided the budget for 2024 into two sections, water testing and educational activities. We added a small increase to the laboratory costs, as there's usually an annual increase in these costs. Mycocystin testing, and that's for the blue-green algae, was conducted immediately by the ministry when there was a possible blue-green algae bloom this summer. Rather than in previous summers, they've let us know that they have taken a sample and left any testing for mycocystin up to us if we wanted to get that done. They were just identifying the type of algae it was. So because they've now taken that on, we've eliminated that cost from our budget. The calibration solutions will probably need to be replaced this year. It's down as every other year. But because we're doing more testing in terms of the using the handheld meter, those probes that we showed you earlier in the fall, they need to be calibrated to make sure they're measuring properly. And the solutions need to be no more than a year old, or a little more maybe, but some of them will certainly need to be replaced this year, although they were new last year. One of the four benthic sites that has been tested by Georgia Bay Biosphere on our lake is now unavailable as the property has been sold. The committee decided to drop the township's two sites to two from three, and MLCA will continue to pay for one site. We did make an attempt in the late summer to try to reach the new owners, but they didn't respond, and so we're just assuming that they don't want the Georgia Bay Biosphere to go there and sample for benthic. And I spoke with Katrina at Georgia Bay Biosphere. She suggested it would either be, you know, finding another site or dropping down for the township to do too, and that's what we decided to do. There is a report from the water testing committee in the minutes of the December 14th meeting, which I think you have received, or they're online. That was the meeting from last Thursday. The subcommittee concluded there is an excellent water monitoring program in place in McKellar Township for very little cost. And this is mainly due to the value of the volunteer labor provided by MLCA and LSEC members. So the estimate that the committee came up with just for the labor cost would be somewhere around $75,000. So it's really an excellent program that is provided for a very low rate. In terms of education activities, please excuse my voice, I'm just getting over COVID. We have added signs for turtle and animal crossings to decrease the roadkill of wild creatures in the township, and the placement of these signs will be carefully evaluated and communicated. we had a strategic planning session for in the whole committee and evaluated what we deemed most important, and that was one of the things that came out near the top. Septic Smart. We distributed the Septic Smart booklet from the Ontario government in 2022. This is, I believe, a 16-page booklet that we took and distributed to each doorway. And since then, there have been new residents who did not receive it. So we propose to keep copies of this in the library for new residents to pick up, since they're there likely checking in with the township and having other township business. The chances that they'll go wander into the library and see what's new are pretty high. We did have all the leftovers that we took those to the library, and that and the Lake Protection Workbook. And they were gone in a matter of months, all the extras, so people were picking them up and quite interested in them. In terms of leaflets, we would like to continue our program of educating township residents about important environmental issues. We have budgeted for 3 2-sided color leaflets to be included with the tax mailings in February and July. Peter has presented the first of these, called Protecting the Waters of McKellar Township. And we are looking for approval now to print these in January in order to have them ready in time. So the timeline is that we would need to have approval from you so we can take it to the printer and get them back to the township office by the end of January. We have also budgeted for honorariums for YouTube videos. We have plans for one on recycling, in order to help residents select and prepare their recycling in order to maximize the efficiency of recycling in the township. We also plan to cooperate with the new recycling program coming to the township on July 1st, 2024, in terms of providing and assisting with the education of the township residents about that new program. And so I think it's great that we had independently decided we needed to do something to help people maximize their recycling abilities, and this is coming up at the same time. It's a nice conjunction. Our committee now includes 2 members with professional expertise in this area. Since we have other projects planned for this year, we've budgeted for 3 videos. Our budget requests amount to just over $18,000. The township will receive very high value for this investment in our environment, and I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Okay, thank you. We won't ask you to talk much longer, but any questions from council? I think the resolution on the entire budget we won't be talking about just yet, but I think the resolution does deal with the pamphlet. As you say, it's time sensitive, so that'll be part of the resolution, which I'll read in a second.
Thank you.
Other questions? The signs that you're talking about, now, have you talked to Director of Operations? Is this going to concern township roads in any way? Or?
Well, we certainly will be. We had our strategic planning session in November, and so we haven't had a chance to figure out where and what kind of signs we wanted, but we have seen a number of these signs in other townships, for example, turtle crossings or deer crossings and that kind of thing, and I think it's a good idea to alert the drivers.
Okay, no other questions? I have resolution 23-775, moved by Councilor Pekkanen, second by Councilor Zulak, be resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the deputation from Chair of the Lake Stewardship and Environmental Committee, Jennifer Dent Fuller, and Member Peter Duffy, regarding the Protecting the Waters of McKellar Township pamphlet, and to present the committee's draft 2024 committee budget, and further approve of the Protecting the Waters of McKellar Township pamphlet being mailed with the 2024 interim tax bills. Discussion? Councilor Ryan?
Can I just ask to amend the last bullet point just to include the cost to at least print those? I mean, not the whole budget as presented, but at the very least the cost to do that. And I know, Jennifer, you know how much it is to print the first pamphlet that we're planning to talk about, don't you?
It was
$2,000?
It lasted an amount of not more than $1,000.
Okay. And or to, I don't really know, because obviously there isn't a budget for this yet, but, the committee could go ahead and do it, but I'm not sure what we're doing with the bill when we get it, so.
Yeah, you don't want to put a limit on it. I mean, you want to say an approximate cost, I guess. And I guess that would be an understanding that it would be part of the budget that is passed, whether
sure.
it be $18,000 or whatever.
Sure. Yeah.
But that itself would be a line item that should
sure.
be covered.
Is it $2,000 that you're planning to print, Jennifer? Is that right?
Sorry, would you repeat the question? I'm having
yeah.
trouble with myself.
Okay. We're planning to print $2,000 for each of these mailings, right?
That was the request from the township
okay.
the last time we did this. I'd
yeah.
have to double check with Mary and make
yeah.
sure that's still what's needed.
Okay. So maybe we just put that in, including the cost to print $2,000 of the, you know, as stated in the resolution, right?
I'm not sure of the wording here, and the
okay.
councillor asked if you were looking at, you were going to say something.
Oh, I was going to bring up the exact same thing,
yeah.
that to approve the printing of this brochure.
Yeah. Well, it's named in here, Protecting the Waters of Macaur Township. It's named in the resolution.
Yeah.
Right? So, and it's the one that Peter presented, sorry.
Just something to the effect that the costs be covered in the 2024 budget.
Yeah,
right?
Something like that.
Yeah, as part of the
right.
24 budget.
I see your point.
Yeah. Well, otherwise we're
yeah.
yeah, we're saying we'll mail it, but we're not paying for them. So,
yeah.
So.
You cost us a bunch of money.
And it's not a major expense by any means, but
no, and it's I see it's going to be three different flyers done throughout the year, maybe, and budget
yeah.
amount of $3,500. So I'm taking it probably be approximately one third of that
yeah.
cost, maybe, to print it up.
Based on what Jennifer said, so.
But yeah, like Dave said, I don't think we need to put in an amount. I just print that brochure up.
So Jennifer, we're just revising the resolution to cover the direction to print them and pay for them. But
that's good. If you have any other questions about other items in the budget, I'd be happy to try to answer those too.
Pretty straightforward.
It is.
Because this is saying, well, the interim tax is great.
Rather than just include it to be approved as part of the policy. It's hard to word it because
yeah.
it's not just an approved line item, it's an approved figure, a dollar figure that it'd be paid for, so.
Prepare the flyer to be approved as part of the 2024 budget.
It's still a little nebulous.
It's
the cost is prepared as part of the budget, but the budget hasn't been passed. So.
Right.
As part of the proposed budget.
Yeah. Well, we know the intent, and that it goes a long way too.
I don't think there would be any doubt if there was a future discussion that we agreed to this, but. Right. And we can't agree to the brochure without agreeing to pay for it, but
yeah, it's sort of a pre-approval before the budget is passed
yeah.
sort of thing. But
so if you were pre-approved, further that the cost to prepare the flyers be pre-approved as part of the 2024 budget
due to time constraints. Due to time constraints.
Yeah.
Again, they're just words, but.
Yeah.
What the heck? That's our intent, right? So.
to initial this on and get them to approve it. You guys have to initial the change, so read it and see if you agree with it.
I was looking at the report here, and then it has the 2023 actuals and the 2023 budget estimates. So I was just seeing if there was anything in surplus left still in the LSAC budget currently, so that those costs might be actually covered with what is left in surplus, if there is anything in surplus.
That could be. I guess I would leave that to Roshan to let us know.
This one? Mm-hmm.
Jennifer, can I ask you a question while they're figuring that out?
Sure. I'm sorry. I can't see people well enough. Who's speaking, please?
It's Debbie Zulak.
Hi there.
Okay.
Yeah.
You were talking before, and you said something about a new program that's coming up in 2024. What am I missing something?
Well, we've been discovering it ourselves, and the township knows about it as well. There's an Ontario provincial government program to redo the blue box recycling, and so they're moving the costs. I should really let Carly and Ina.
Okay. No, okay. I got it now. Yeah. That's okay.
Is that okay for me?
Yeah. I just wondered, I slipped my mind there, the new program 2024. I was wondering what it was.
Right, so
that's
they're
good.
Moving the cost of recycling onto the people who produce the packaging, and so this should result in some cost savings, and there'll be education going on about that the province will help with. So we're looking forward to being full participants in that in McKellar Township, offering whatever assistance we can. And I believe the date for that to be implemented in McKellar Township is July the 1st.
Okay, great. Thanks, Jennifer.
You're welcome.
Okay, any further discussion on this? The amendment is just a third clause added, further that the cost to prepare the flyers be approved as part of the 2024 budget due to preparation time constraints. The question, first of all, on the amendment. All those in favor? None opposed. And then the amended resolution with the amendment included. All those in favor? None opposed. Carried. Thank you for your presentations. And we're going into a committee of the whole, so stick around.
Yes, I'm interested in the next item, so we'll start from this day to that. Thank you very much. And while I have the opportunity, I hope you all have a wonderful holiday season.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Resolution 23-776, moved by Councillor Haskam, second by Councillor Ryland. Be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby moved into Committee of the Whole at 7:36 p.m. to discuss transfer station user permits for 2024. And we'll maybe start with Carly's report.
User permit was changed to a static link sticker. These stickers were circulated in the
interim tax bills that were mailed at the end of February. We had one ratepayer email in to say that they were in support of the stickers. We didn't receive any other comments, so hopefully maybe Jennifer and Peter can weigh in tonight as well. At the May 16, 2023 regular meeting of council, another committee of the whole meeting was held to ask more so the transfer station attendant and the public how the system was working. Both the transfer station attendant and the director of operations spoke in favor of the previous transfer station cards, the red cards that had ratepayers' information on them. So there is a bit of a debate. Obviously, you're not going to make everyone happy with one system or the other. Both systems seem to work well. There's pros and cons to both systems. So we're asking for 2024 how to proceed, whether we continue with the Klingon static stickers that ratepayers are now more used to, or switching back to the transfer station card. If a card was to be implemented for 2024, the questions would be what information will be provided on the card. Previously, there was the ratepayers' information on the specific card. Alternatively, is another option, cards could be numbered and that number corresponds with a number in the office. Or thirdly, no information would be on the card. It would just have the Township of McKellar logo, Township of McKellar transfer station permit. Other municipalities such as Whitestone use this practice. And then a replacement card would be $15 or an additional card, as one card would only be circulated in the tax bills. So staff are just looking for a direction. Quotes were received from a supplier that did the static claims last year. Another idea was to have a card hanger, so it would just be a rear view mirror card hanger hung on the back of the rear view mirror. 2,000 of those were $835 plus tax, so they're in line to the other systems as well. So staff are just looking direction is to have
move
forward for 2024.
Great, thank you. Comments from council first, and then we'll open up to the public. Councilor Peckley.
So really, what I ask myself is, how did we get here? The bylaws never changed. The previous card system was in place for close to 30 years successfully. Never required renewal. There was a continual... When there was new ownership, new builds, staff, according to our bylaw, would provide user permits for our citizens, or if a citizen required a new card, they could go to the township office, and I would always advise members of the public that they could call, write, email the office, and or attend the office, and the staff would very willingly prepare them a new card. So part of the question is, how did we get here? Because for a system that worked so effectively for close to 30 years, who decided not to continue renewing permits as required? And all of a sudden, so there's, you know, two purposes for the card. One is identification, and the other is visibility for the transfer station attendant. So I went to the transfer station. I took the two different samples. Was about 10 feet away from the transfer station attendant. I worked there. I could see these cards from halfway across the transfer station. This, I would have to get within 10 feet to actually see what it is. And it has absolutely no identification, which is not useful to the transfer station attendant. Working at the transfer station, you're multitasking. You're ensuring the safety of the site. You're seeing who's coming in, what's coming in. And these cards are very efficient and effective in ensuring that you're able to see who's coming in from a distance. When you're required to write a receipt, you don't have to stand there and, you know, get the person to say their name. You ask for their identification card. You multitask. You're doing cycling the machines. You're watching what's going on. You advise them to go drop off what they need to, where they need to. And while they're doing that, you can do the other chores that need to be done and write out the receipt at your convenience. Return the receipt and the card to the citizen. and it serves as a very effective tool for the transfer station attendant. You know, and I always look at when we're making decisions as a council, are we going from something, when we're putting a new policy or a new thing in place, are we taking and are we making something as good or better than what was previous in place? And I don't think this was a step forward. It was actually a step backwards from helping the transfer station attendant. And even for, there's multi, another use for the identification card is that the transfer station attendant gets to know who the citizens are in the community. It has their name, so when they're when he's interacting and making out receipts, he gets to know who the citizens are in the community and adds this personal dimension to our staff. With one of these, you might get to know 5% of people's names just by talking to them. This, you'll get to know at least 50% of the people's names and have a direct relationship, interaction, and get to know these people. So I see going forward that this is an effective and has proven effective for close to 30 years. The citizens will not get confused going back to this because they've already been familiar with this for its implementation since the early 1990s. They don't wear out. Citizens, what I've seen over the years, they put them in little plastic folders. A lot of times they had them hang from their rearview mirrors. They had them in the side of their windows. So it was very convenient and very effective. And I see for our transfer station that this has worked effectively and can continue to be a very effective tool to ensure that the users of the transfer site are the intended users. This is not easily replicated. You'll have one person, one address, one roll number. I photocopied these very easily. I can make 100 of those in 5 minutes. So I think this serves its purpose very well.
Okay, so you really don't have an opinion?
Just clarify. I go with the facts. I know what works, what's proven, and I don't see any need for change, especially when it's one that's not making an improvement on what's proven itself to be effective for close to 30 years.
Other comments?
I would say that one of the benefits of the sticker, which I don't particularly like, and I have many of the same arguments you do, Mike, is that it doesn't take staff time to do it like it does to prepare those.
Well, the sad thing about this is that instead of going through a complete renewal process now, if staff would have kept up with what was instituted and what our bylaw says, we wouldn't be at a position now where it seems like there needs to be almost a complete renewal of something that was functioning.
Understood. Yeah.
So, you know, this is a one-time... This one here was issued in 2015. So it's not something that you're renewing every year, and they don't get lost because it's one of your identification pieces of identification you require for, you know, one of the things that you're engaged in, so you take care of it.
I will tell you that I've never had one in all the time that I've been here, and I've certainly never been asked for it and clearly never used it, right? And perhaps initially it'd be I knew you and you knew me, but that's about the only thing. And since then, I mean, obviously recently I was a counselor, but that's predates this, going back to 2010 when I first came up here and I went to the dump. Nobody asked me for one, right? And I didn't have one. And if I ever got one, I don't know where it is. And I asked Judy, she said the same. So I don't have an objection to doing that. And I guess we could tell people if you have the old one, you can keep it and use it. And if you don't, you know, follow process X to be determined. But right, but I assume how much information is recorded on it? Like, can you name the...
So Township of McKellar User's Permit, McKellar Transfer, McKellar Waste Disposal Site, the name, address,
okay,
roll number, issued by date, and it has vehicle license number, but I don't think that's necessary,
okay,
because this is something that is not static on the vehicle. And that was the other thing that the residents found that was, you know, useful was that if someone was family member was staying at the cottage,
sure,
or whatever, or then they had it hanging,
sure,
in a certain spot with all the information regarding when the waste disposal site
was
open.
Yeah.
So anyways, it was there, and it was